WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are just...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm going to break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can live, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
I'm a perky disco turkey because I love to dance. I know this may seem bizarre. It's the coolest thing to do. That's why I'm such a star. Step side to side, reach high and low. Wiggle your shoulders and make a pose. Repeat side to side, high and low. Shake your feathers and point your toes. Now say gobble, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
And strut, strut, strut.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button and hit the checkbox down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. Or you can also follow the regular way, subscribe the regular way, hang out and chat, or, you know, listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. Obviously, that song means one thing. It is Thanksgiving here in the United States, and rather than pre-recording the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving special, we're doing it live. We're here. Oh my gosh, we actually get to interact with you guys when we do this. I'm excited. Now I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I was waiting to be introduced before I said anything.
You never wait to be introduced. You butt in.
I do not. Never butt in on this intro. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Hey, see? Right there. I like the song. It's a kid's song, but it's catchy. It's the thing we've been using for years.
I like it. It's fun. I just like the stretch, stretch, stretch. Because you just kind of like, you're like, yeah.
Yeah. Stretch your stuff like a turkey. So anyway, we're here. We're live. It's a Tuesday. NXT just ended. War Games is taking shape. We'll have a preview next week for all of that. But it looks like it's old school, new school.
It seems like it. Also, I'm just going to say this. Please, WWE, don't fuck with Cameron Grimes' look any more than you already have. It's perfect. Like, it's literally perfect. A good grooming did that boy wonders. Now leave him alone. You're going to shear somebody. Shear Duke. Yeah. That's his name, right?
Yeah, Duke. Duke Hudson.
Yeah, Duke Hudson. Shear Duke Hudson. Do not, please, for the love of God, do not shave Cameron Grimes.
Cameron Grimes.
Unless you're going for the chest. Then by all means.
He did say hair versus hair. He never said what hair.
This is true. It'd be hilarious if instead of getting, you know, his head shaved, he gets his chest shaved because it's very prominent in his look. But yeah, NXT left me confused. We're going to discuss it next week, kind of some of the things that they're doing and some of the choices that we're making here. I'm very confused by it all, what happened tonight. But
we all are.
But speaking of confusion.
Yes.
And things to discuss, we have to talk about Survivor Series.
We do, which happened on Sunday.
I don't know what happened in this show. My overall impression was it was a decent show. Like, the matches for the most part were good. The pacing just felt very weird to me. And the show had this really weird vibe to it, like, the whole night. Like, it just, I don't know what it was, but everything just kind of felt off.
There was tension in the air, and you knew that going in, between Becky and Charlotte. Like, that was the dark cloud hanging over the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to the show, that's what you're anticipating, you're waiting for, you're waiting to see the eruption, and we got to see the eruption. And then after that, it's like, all right, I enjoyed that. It was really good.
Now what?
Now what? It was like, you bursted the bubble early. And especially with how it ended, like, you could have flipped it, and the bubble would have burst at the end.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, we were all really excited for Becky versus Charlotte, and rightfully so. They did a wonderful job building the match and getting it to a boiling point. You know, they really, really leaned in. Oh my God, he lives! Brent!
And he's still at work at 8 o'clock at night.
Are you feeling better? Tell me you're feeling better.
See, I took the shot that he's still at work at 8 o'clock. You're asking about how he's doing. Anyway, back to the show.
Like, I think everybody was really looking forward to that match, and so the fact that they opened with it, I think a lot of other stuff just fell a little flat. And it didn't help that we had some things go on throughout the show, which we're going to get a little bit more into detail, but the first one being, obviously, the egg and the situation with the egg. And I'm just going to get this out of the way up front. I said this last night on the Raw Post Show. I'm going to say it again here in case anybody didn't hear it. I just feel like the whole situation with the egg is a little tone deaf. Like, I completely acknowledge and understand that they booked the Netflix thing months ago, and the intention was that The Rock was going to be there and he was going to be the big payoff, and then it didn't happen because of the schedule.
Yeah, he had to apparently quarantine because he has to do travel.
Go to the doctor. So,
talking to Brent, not The Rock.
Yeah, yeah. Although if Dwayne needs a doctor, please go to the doctor. We want you healthy. But yeah, and so it's like there was no payoff. It led into Raw last night. But it's just a little, this is coming on the heels of them firing eight more people in addition to the 100 or so or 90 or so that have gotten fired over the course of 2021. To have Vince McMahon roll up in a limo with his $100 million egg, and the first thing you see is forced adulation to him and kind of forced worship of him as everybody's like, oh my God, it's Vince! Oh my God, it's Vince! Holy shit! Oh my God! Please don't fire me, Vince! You don't know my name, so it's okay!
Oh my God, yes?
Like, that's kind of what it felt like, was it was very forced and very unnatural that you just have a bunch of people standing there waiting for Vince to get out of the car with the egg. And then you have him in his office with Roman, which was a decent setup for Dwayne, where they're talking about how The Rock gave him the egg, and it's the actual whatever of Cleopatra, and yada yada yada, it's real, it's worth $100 million, and he has this precious thing in his possession with one security guard, only for it to then get stolen, and that then leads into Raw, where we had the great egg hunt of 2021. So to me, the whole thing, I get it was product placement, I get it was a sponsorship, I get it was already booked, and they tried to get Dwayne, and they couldn't get him, and they probably could not get Gal Gadot or Ryan Reynolds either. So they did what they did with it. It just felt off. It just felt a little tone deaf.
Also, in general, Vince McMahon's segments just feel weird these days.
Vince's segments do feel weird because, honestly, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, Vince does not look like Vince anymore.
No. He doesn't have the same aura about him that he once did.
No, he really doesn't. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just, I think the image of Vince has changed. And it's something that, especially in 2021, like you look back and you look at the aura of Vince, and the one benefit that we had in way back in the day, back in the Stone Ages, is that you really didn't know a lot about Vince and what he did on the business side and the decisions that he made on the business side. Mm-hmm. As technology has advanced, as, you know, the wrestling journalism, I use that term very, very usually, has grown, we've gotten more and more interactions with Vince the person. And that has kind of reduced the aura. And I think his image has kind of taken a little bit of a hit just because of some of the decisions that have been made over the course of the last 2 years. And so I think Vince is not as popular as Vince really was once was, or he's not as revered as what he once was. Because ultimately, obviously, everything comes back to Vince, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the biggest thing that kind of stands out in my mind is somebody asked him about, you know, Tony Khan signing talent. And Vince is like, well, maybe we should send them more. And then 2 days later, Bray Wyatt gets fired.
I think it was a little bit later than that, but yeah.
But Vince did it having probably already made up his mind that he was going to fire Bray.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, he already knew the releases were coming. That's not a snap judgment. They're already working on it probably a few days to a week before they're going to do it because they have to sort out all the legal shit on it.
Yeah.
So it takes it a while to do. So they did it knowing, or at least knowing that releases were coming, if not Bray. But Bray was on his own. He was singled out to be fired. So it's just, it's kind of stuff like that, that it's like, you see it and you understand it's for entertainment purposes, but it just feels off. It just feels out of place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how else you really could have worked it into the show, because you don't really have anybody that's like an adventurer or an artist, or, I mean, you do, you have Dexter Lumis. Like, you could have used Dexter Lumis probably in this instance.
No, you could have done it many different ways. You could have had Sonya and Adam bring the egg in themselves and say, Vince McMahon is going to be here tonight. Vince is coming tonight, right? And you have security bring it in and they place it on his desk. And then you do the setup where Vince shows up, right? Where you're not,
yeah,
not by the limo, but he you know, he arrives and he gets in his office.
And it's gone.
No, it's there. Yeah, it's gone. But God, but it was here. We swear it was here, Vince. You go find that egg, by God. And then you set up what happened on Monday. You do the search. Where you use Vince, but you use him in a segment where it's really short, so he doesn't have to sit there and awkwardly talk. I know you wanted to get the Roman thing out of the way, too, and make some references, and that's fine, but it's like, you could have shot things a little differently. You could also have had Dwayne send in a video. And
yeah, that was the other thing. It's like, I understand Dwayne has to quarantine, but here's the deal. Like, you've known about this for months on end. So the fact that, and when I say months, I think no more than probably 6 weeks,
no,
but they lined this stuff up.
The deal was made back in June or July.
Okay. So you've had a lot of time to set this up. So it could have been really easy to just have Dwayne go out with a film crew or even with his cell phone and just go to a building, a nondescript building, and film that he took the egg. Or film it in a car, or like put him in a limo or something.
Or not even that. Just say he lent the egg to Vince and now, you know, he has to get it. Vince has to get it back for him. You know what I mean? Because I think Lance Storm put it out like it shouldn't be he gave him the egg. He lent him the egg, and now that's why Vince has to be in a panic.
Yeah, because it's like, it just, again, like, the whole big thing was, it's like, oh, here's this really expensive artifact that's ultra rare, one of a kind. We're going to put it in a box in an office that's pretty much unguarded by, like, one poor schmuck who happened to draw the short straw that night and has to guard Vince's office. That basically Roman walked up, whipped his dick out, and told the guy to leave, and he left. Like, that's like it. That's what happened. So, and then Roman went right in. And obviously the payoff is that Austin Theory wanted to take a selfie with it, which I'm like, why didn't Austin Theory just put it back?
Because security was there and he couldn't get back around security.
But why didn't he just take a picture in the office and leave it there?
Because security was coming, and so he ran with the egg. I'm giving you the logical answer.
I know you're giving me the logical answer, but this is WWE we're talking about. Like, how hard is it? You snap a selfie, and then you come out of Vince's office.
because you needed a plot point.
I understand this, but I'm just saying, like, the more logical thing is you just snap a picture with it real quick, or you don't get a selfie with it at all, Austin. But yeah, that was just kind of the weird thing that was going on throughout the night on the show that just kind of didn't help it.
There's one other weird things that happened on the show. Basically, all the drawn-out time between matches.
Hey, you know what? I appreciate the pee breaks. Thank you
very much. I do, but at 12:47, it shouldn't have been 15 minutes to the main event. A 5 to 7 minute pee break is fine. 15 minutes is a little much. Just saying.
Well, they got to get the commercials and the promo packages and all the other shit in, so...
I know, but there was a bunch of them. They could have cut down on one or two of the longer extended breaks. And they sent out a survey. What do you think of the ads during the broadcast? I strongly disagreed with them. The length of them. They were not good.
I mean, I will say this is the first pay-per-view that I've had that had, like, commercials in it, and they weren't totally obtrusive. They did a good job in breaking up the pay-per-view properly, but it just, again, just the overall impression is that the pacing was a little off on this. But I say we don't waste time, and we just get into the matches.
We had Shinsuke Nakamura, Damian Priest in the kickoff.
This was good.
I think it was good once they dropped the comedy for a while.
Yeah, like, I think I would like to see these two go again, but I would like them to be more, I think, serious, especially given what they're doing with Damian Priest, and they're kind of doing the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing, which, why?
But why?
Why? Like, why can't he be more sadistic in the ring, and then he's, like, nice and cool backstage? Like, you could do it like that. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
We talked about it yesterday. You're losing the cool factor that he once had based off of everything. All the rub that Bad Bunny gave him, you're going to completely wipe away.
Yeah.
Also, I hated the DQ finish.
Yeah. This was not the best finish for this, but they were trying to keep them both relatively strong, so it makes sense.
Relatively strong is... You were trying to give SmackDown at least a win before the main, I guess is the best way to put it, because everything else turned up Raw throughout the night until the main event. So it was like, give SmackDown somewhat of a hope, even though it was a DQ win. I don't know. Match was good. The ending sucked. And maybe we'll see it again one day.
Maybe. Let's hope. But I almost want to save it for last, but it was the first match on the actual show.
We can bounce around if you want.
Okay, let's bounce around. Let's save Becky and Charlotte, because there's a lot to dissect.
Okay, let's talk about the Pizza Hut Battle Royale.
Oh, God.
What were your thoughts on the Pizza Hut Battle Royale?
Whoever took cold, congealed pizza to the face... I salute you. I really, really do. Because God bless Montez Ford. They win the Battle Royale and he starts chucking cold pizza. And you can tell it's cold. You can tell because the cheese is solid. Mm-hmm. Like, normally when it's fresh, hot pizza, it still has, like, a little bit of grease and stuff on it. So it's still, like, really, really good. This was, like, solid, congealed, delivered at, like, 5 hours ago pizza. It's been sitting in the break room ever since.
So, out of curiosity, I just went to eBay to see if they actually put the pizza up on sale. No one actually put a slice of pizza up on sale. Thank God.
I don't know if anybody caught any or if they ate them or, like, what they did. Like, I fully appreciate and respect Pizza Hut doing this. The irony to it just made me laugh all the way through this, though.
Oh, we had fun making fun of that, yeah.
There were so many bad puns to be had, all centering around a pizza cutter. Because the incredible irony of this is, you know, obviously AEW got in trouble with Domino's over airing a match that had a pizza cutter in it being used on somebody's forehead in picture-in-picture with the Domino's ad. And obviously there's huge negative connotations there with putting those two pictures together. And in a crazy random happenstance, at least that's what I'm calling it, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if it wasn't a shot. WWE has Pizza Hut sponsor the 25-man Rock Anniversary Battle Royale, in which they have tables with the Pizza Hut family boxes for the holidays all stacked up, and then they have one beautifully displayed at ringside where you can see the pizza. Because I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, those boxes are empty. They're so empty. You can just tell on the way that they're sitting and everything that they're empty. But, you know, of course, the one that's at ringside on the table displayed beautifully is does actually have the cold pizza in it.
Also, poor Byron didn't get any pizza.
Poor Byron. He got no pizza. He looked like he was going to cry. And I'm like, dude, the box is right there. Just take some.
Otis got to eat pizza.
Otis got to eat pizza. Like, they brought it into the Battle Royale.
One, they on the Solo Cup had the Pizza Hut logo. That was nice branding right there.
I mean, they did a great job with it. Like, the Street Profits really are the perfect guys for this, outside of, like, The Miz. But, like, the Street Profits just owned it and sold it and did a great job with it, so it's, like, hats off to them.
I would say they're better at it than The Miz because they have the cool factor right now.
Yeah, they've got the cool factor.
They're the party guys.
They like to have fun.
Yeah, so it makes sense for them to be the, you know, the ones behind it. That said, when they came down to action, Omos just went off.
I kind of figured he was going to. I had a hunch. Mm-hmm. But what we need to talk about is not Omos.
No.
We need to talk about the end of this, where the Raw guys were so distracted with each other that they let the SmackDown guys have a whole ass conversation in one of the corners of the ring.
Brand supremacy. We're just going to toss each other out.
Like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you all beating each other up? There's like 3 SmackDown guys left and they're all small. You could just chuck them over the top rope. It would be fine. And then you could fight. But legit, the SmackDown guys, like Sami Zayn calls it, was Sami Zayn,
Cesaro, and Ricochet.
And Sami calls the two of them over and they start having a conversation. And they do. They have a whole ass talk and come up with a plan to how to beat the Raw guys. And then Sami gets immediately eliminated. But still, like, it was legit like a 90-second moment in this match that shouldn't have happened. Because in any other situation, it's like they're just like, oh yeah, we're going to go to the complete other side of the ring. And we're just going to beat each other up. Y'all just, you know, talk amongst yourselves, come up with a plan, it's fine. That's what happened. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? What are we doing here? No. Beat them up. Beat them up. Throw them out. Then you guys can kill each other. Don't care.
That was Sami's plan. We throw them out and then we take each other out.
Rob beat them to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was just one really awkward moment. Like, it was a good spot. Don't get me wrong. It was a good spot. It was just really super awkward from the standpoint of nobody's paying attention. Nobody's interrupting this. Mm-hmm. They're just standing there in the ring as they do this. It's like, what?
At the end of the day, the giant Omos won for the team. But they were going to celebrate with pizza, and then the Prophet stole the pizza.
They did. Came down to Omos and who else?
Ricochet.
That's right. And Ricochet almost had him beat at one point, as I recall.
Almost had him, but he couldn't get the momentum as the big man stopped and, well, never left his feet.
Yeah. So this was solid, but again, there was just a couple things in this that you sit here and you make pizza cutter jokes through the whole thing, and it's fine. It's all completely fine.
Pizza Hut, if you would like to sponsor the show, media at wildtalkradio.com.
Legit. I will plug your pizza. I will take free pizza.
We all
would. You can pay me in pizza. It's fine.
There was champions versus champions, tag champs, Randy Orton and Riddle against SmackDown tag champs, the Usos. All right.
This is good to me. Like, it took it a while to pick up because mm-hmm. I think, unfortunately, this was really close to being after Becky and Charlotte, so it took the crowd a little bit to get into it.
Oh, it was a little further in. Yeah, this was after the Battle Royale.
But this to me was good. This was very entertaining, especially at the end. Like, once they started, like, moving and hitting third gear and really working, it got really, really good. It was slow to start, so it's like every other Randy Orton match, like, fucking ever. And so it was a little hard to get into at first, but then it's like, as they started really, really going, you're like, yeah, yeah, and that, do the thing.
And that the finish was shot so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
The RKO spot, yeah, it was finished really well. It was shot so well. Like, you didn't see Randy until the last second. Unlike other spots where you see them in the ring waiting for them to come down, it's like they cut right to Randy hitting the RKO, and it was perfect timing.
They did a really nice job shooting that. Like, normally they do an okay job, but here it was really, really good.
The RK-Bro would end up winning the match.
And retaining the tag team titles.
There was no titles on that line.
So they retained.
They retained. There's no titles on the line. We have the SmackDown Women's Survivor Series match. Raw versus SmackDown. Bianca, Rhea, Liv, Carmella, Queen Zelina versus Sasha, Shotzi, Shayna, Natalya, and Toni Storm.
All right.
Let's get into it. The match itself was good.
The match itself was fine.
Fans, you suck.
My only complaint about the match itself is the mask gimmick, which I complain about ad nauseum, so I'm not going to add it here, but they seem to have a mask malfunction, and so they got Carmella out of the match really, really quickly as a result.
They allowed Toni to get a couple wins under her belt, which was nice, since she's headed into a small program with Charlotte.
Yeah, start to build her up slowly. So, let's talk about the fans in this match.
Waving at you.
I do not want to be a Buzz Killington here. I don't want to discourage people from going to wrestling shows and having fun, because that's the whole point of going, right? You buy your tickets, you go to be entertained, you go to have a good time. There's nothing wrong in that. And it's not even that it's necessarily overtly offensive. Where I take issue is when people try to do things like hijack the crowd or hijack the show by doing things like the wave, doing things like the CM Punk chant, where they're very clearly trying to take away from what's going on in the ring. I feel like that is insulting to the performers themselves, because here's the thing that people don't necessarily think about, and people on Twitter, by the way, thank you for proving my point, is that the performers in the ring are there to entertain you. That is their job. That is their primary focus. So it's hurtful to them when you guys do stuff like that, because then you're sending a very clear message that they're not doing their job. Now, is that always 100% their fault? No. They get stuck by shitty booking and bad stories and everything else all the time. And they don't have any power to change it. They have to make it work. So to say, well, we weren't paying attention, or we weren't bothering with the match because the booking was bad or the build was bad. Okay, that's certainly your choice. I respect your choice. But what you're doing is you're sending a message to the company and to the performers that you don't care. And when people do that, and then they wonder why pushes get stopped, people disappear from TV, people get fired. Y'all wonder why that happens? Is because the fans don't care about that particular performer. They send messages like that to WWE that, hey, this is crap. Whether it's the performer or the story, this is crap. We're not interested in it. We don't care. And so as a result, the performer gets punished. It's not the writing staff. It's not the producers. It's not the directors. It's not the camera people. It's not anybody else involved except the performer. Because they are expected, and this is an unrealistic expectation, but they are expected to make it work and get it over. That is their job. So to me, when people bitch about women's wrestling, when they sit there and they stopwatch the Queen's tournament and they complain about why the matches weren't longer, in certain instances, when stuff like that happens where the fans are trying to hijack the show or trying to do the wave or whatever, that's why. Because you're telling WWE, we don't care about these women in the ring. We can't be fucked with this match. We could care less.
You want something new, they give you something new. They give you different people in higher positions. You had Shotzi, Toni Storm, Zelina in more prominent roles on the Liv Morgan in this match. You gave them extended time to wrestle, to work. And then when you decide to do the wave and chant for CM Punk, by the way, congrats to Zelina Vega for the hand.
So proud of you, Mom. I'm so proud.
It sent a message when you're complaining about the length of women's wrestling and you wanting more, then when they're giving you more, you're not paying attention. You're trying to entertain yourselves. That's sending a bad message, and you're ignoring the hard work the athletes are putting in the ring. A wave is great at a baseball game because you do it in between innings, or you do it as the batter's warming up, and it gets the crowd into it, because that's a baseball thing. It's the only place you ever should see a wave is the baseball game.
I don't mind waves at wrestling shows. If it's in between breaks, or it's before the show, whatever. But during a match, it's kind of up there with the beach balls, where people brought the beach balls and they were batting them around the building. right? And the performers got pissed off, especially Cesaro, when he ripped the beach balls apart. And as a result, beach balls got banned. But it's kind of on that level where it's, you're sending a message to the performers that you don't care. And in specific instances where the match is really, really bad, I can kind of excuse it because it's like, okay, the booking's bad. The match is bad. It's not entertaining. They're not doing what they're supposed to really be doing, or they're struggling to get it over. Like, in that instance, you can almost excuse it, I guess.
These girls were putting in the work. The people saying, oh, there was no story heading into this one, that's the biggest lie you've heard.
There were lots of stories into this one. There's lots of little intrigues and moments and tiffs and everything else heading into this match. And these girls were out there working their butts off. That's the thing. That's why I said, you know, you would almost excuse it in the case that it's bad. This wasn't bad. This was nowhere close to bad. This was really, really, really good in my mind. They worked with what they had. It wasn't the best thing I've ever seen by far. But there were lots of moments. In particular, all y'all bitched when they took the title off of Bianca Belair. What did they do? They made Bianca.
They convoluted making her because, one, her and Sasha in the ring is just magic. That's number, it's number one.
It's dynamite.
So the fans got back into it when they started going, and they're like, yeah, you better pay attention to these two because these two are awesome. The Sasha elimination was just stupid because she was in the ring. She got through the ropes.
Yeah, she was there, but they wanted her out, so they got her out.
Which was the intrigue of the match, is why should Shotzi follow her lead? They've been feuding. Made sense. Which is why they ended up fighting, and which ended up causing the count out. So it made sense, the getting in the ring part is weird, but anyway, that's beside the point. But yeah, as you said, they made Bianca. It could have been a little tighter, yes, but they made her.
You had her be the sole survivor for her team, and she eliminated the remainder of the SmackDown team. So you had her pick up the W for Raw, and this actually cemented Raw's brand supremacy at this point in the show because of where it was placed. Because Raw had won at that point more matches than SmackDown, and SmackDown wasn't going to be able to catch up. So you did a nice job paying Bianca back for her losing to Becky all those times, for her kind of getting pushed down a little bit. You gave her that little bump that she needed to kind of keep her right on the outskirts holding for Becky. And you're going to put her in a feud with Doudrop, and you're going to have her feud with Doudrop. Okay, I'm here for this. Let's go.
Right, because she has to be in the secondary program, which will then lead to her being in the Rumble, and she being the catalyst in the Rumble. She'll be the focal point of the Royal Rumble, and you're going to... It's traditional booking. You do well in Survivor Series, you head into Rumble, you look like you have a chance to go to Mania. That's how they do things.
What was interesting to me was they got Liv out really early.
About halfway through, yeah.
Like, I kind of expected it to come down to her and somebody else, but they got Liv out and decided to put it on Bianca, which was interesting.
Yeah, I thought they would have strapped more of the rocket on to Liv, but this was Bianca's match, so that's what it was built for.
Yeah, so that's just my comment on it. Like, it's ultimately not offensive, but it's just something that when you see people stop watching and you see them complaining about the length of women's wrestling and how women's wrestling is treated, which, by the way, is not really treated that great in other companies, just saying.
No, it's not offensive, it's hypocritical.
Yeah, I think that's the better word for it. It's something that I don't want to hear you complaining about it when you're doing stuff like that, because it's disrespectful to the performers.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they want people to have fun too. It's more, and it's not even really the wave. It's more the CM Punk chant.
It's all of it. It's a combination of.
But to me, it's like the wave. It's like, okay, all right, you did the wave, you had fun. But then it's like during the match, the very clear indication that the fans don't care is they start chanting CM Punk in an attempt to hijack the show. Like, that was the more offensive thing to me than the wave. Is it's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this during this match? Because they didn't really do it any time for the rest of the night. Just specifically during the women's match. Yeah. And when you have all these supposed guys out here claiming, oh, well, women's wrestling doesn't get attention, and then you know some of them are doing that, that's where it's like, just shut up. Just sit down and shut up, okay? You're not doing the women any favors, so why are you trying?
I'm just ignoring Brent. Yeah. Anyway... Let's go on to another match. Let's talk about the men's Survivor Series match, shall we?
We are never going to shut Seth Rollins up. Just... Yeah. Okay, one, I really like Seth's outfit.
They're good.
I liked the tights. They were nice. But yes, we had Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, not Kevin Owens, Austin Theory, and Bobby Lashley.
But Kevin was there. He was there.
Until he wasn't. Taking on Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, Xavier Woods.
No.
Or I'm sorry, excuse me, King Xavier Woods.
There you go.
Rubbing my eyeball.
There you go.
Happy Corbin and... Did they get a fifth?
Sheamus,
that's right. The Sheamus. So you had Kevin Owens back out of the match and just refused to do it, so he left.
No, wait. He begged to start to show what type of person he is. And then he left because he's, you want me to be the scumbag. Here you go.
Yeah, where he just fucked off. So that automatically put Raw down one man because Kevin Owens left. SmackDown, and we didn't really talk about it last Thursday, but SmackDown was like a little weird just from the standpoint of it's like you had Sheamus and Hardy together, which you brought up, a year ago we were doing the whole drug thing.
We didn't talk about it last week because Sheamus was added on Friday.
Yeah, but, you had Jeff Hardy and Sheamus in this whole really bitter feud about, bringing up Jeff Hardy's abuses and addictions and everything else and the whole piss getting thrown in the face thing. And now fast forward a year and they're helping each other with their moves and getting along. And it was just slightly, and I do mean slightly awkward when you know that and you're like,
Yeah, it's very weird. And you also had... Theory and Rollins working together, and if they're working together to take Rey Mysterio's eye out, and then he became part of the way, and now he's a selfie guy. Yeah,
it was just, there was a lot of awkwardness going on in this match.
I wasn't a fan of the double count out because it felt very forced and cheap, and that's usually how the case goes, but it felt really forced and cheap.
Like, there was a lot of protecting going on in this match,
which it's like, I understand you want to protect certain people, but it's Survivor Series. It's not going to hurt them to lose in a match. It's actually makes the match more enjoyable if you get like this big win, because like in years past, like big stars would lose in these situations, like, and it would be okay because it told more of a story. And that was before it was like, that was when it was Raw versus Raw and SmackDown versus SmackDown, and or just WWE in general, instead of the Raw versus SmackDown gimmick, because you're now trying to protect people because they're stars on different brands and not on the same brand where you can't 50-50 of recovery.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole thing felt off. Like, it was a good match. It was very entertaining. You had a lot of good moments in this match, but ultimately there were just those awkward ones, and you had Seth Rollins.
The cocky Seth Rollins win, which is what I was trying to predict, but then I got talked out of it, and I should have stuck with what my original thoughts were, because it ended the way I thought it would.
Well, it's like you kind of have hope that, it's like they'll do the women's be Raw and the men's be SmackDown because it makes sense because of who they're setting up for SmackDown for Roman. But, I'm fine with Seth being the sole survivor. He clearly got to somebody last night.
Yeah.
Because he got jumped on Raw.
Yeah.
Which, if you watch that video... Holy crap, the dude, I thought the dude came from the aisleway because the video that I saw looked like he was already in the aisleway. Nah, dude came from like the side of the stage, got a running start, and tackled Seth.
Because the only barricades that are there are the ones that are set up in the actual arena, so it's easy to get through. Because with how WWE has their set now, it's all wide open.
Yeah. Before, there would have been, like, a stage that kind of stops you and holds you in.
Because the stage was raised, so you would have to get up the stage. And there was always tables and stuff on the side of the stage. It's a clear path because it's a clear, open stage.
So, and if you watch the video that the dude put out after he got out of jail, because, yes, he did get arrested. Yes, they are going to press charges.
He put out a video. Oh, God.
I have to wonder if he's okay. Like, I hope he's okay. I think he might have some issues.
Okay.
I don't know, though.
I don't know. I haven't seen the video. I can't tell you for sure.
Yeah, after he got out of jail, he put out a video basically talking about how he did it for Roman.
Okay.
And he's a future WWE superstar and all these other things, and...
Okay. That's new information to me. Let's just move on from that, because let's not go down that road.
Yeah, we're not going to go down that road. But yeah, this was a good match. This was entertaining. and Seth Rollins will never shut up.
Okay. So now you have the option. Which solo champion versus champion match you want to get to?
Big E versus Roman.
Okay. Talk about it.
This was good. This was so good.
Yeah.
As much as I wanted E to win, I can accept the loss because in this instance, Roman gave E the rub. Totally did it.
It's he gave him the rub. He was also given the chance to shine and put in the position of, okay, now you're in the main event. Can you do the main event style match in the main event? Back at Crown Jewel, he did a sort of a Raw main event with Drew at Crown Jewel. But you didn't do a pay-per-view main event style match, and it was in the middle of the show. This was 3 hours plus into a show. You had to get the crowd back into it because the crowd was a little dead because it's 11 o'clock, it's 3+ hours, and you had a lot of downtime between match. And they worked the crowd back into it and got the crowd really into it, where they were chanting, go Big E, go, let's go Roman. Everyone was fired up into it. Big E showed he can perform in that situation. He showed he can get the crowd behind him. He showed he can connect with the crowd and work that style of match. Big E, we need to have a conversation. Stop with the dive between the ropes because you're going to kill yourself.
Oh my god. That was so scary. Oh my god, E, what the fuck?
It was bad.
He face planted.
Yeah.
Like hardcore, but face planted.
It wasn't good. But beyond that, it was well done. Big E got his moments at the beginning. Roman was able to get the rope. He didn't kick out. He got the rope. So that's that's a good rub where it's like, I can't fully kick out, but here's the rope. I'm able to escape. And there's this, when he fought back from the Superman punches and got right up in Roman's face, that was well done as well. In the end, Roman would get the win, and it was the right finish. Big E got up. Roman stood tall. That's how it was supposed to be.
Yeah. I liked all of this. I thought this was really well done because you didn't have Roman be completely dominant, but you didn't have E beat Roman, which I still feel like would have done more. But E gave Roman a challenge, which sets up things for later on between the two if you ever have them go again, which they will cross paths again. So it's, well, you didn't beat me. No, I didn't beat you, but I almost beat you. I was close.
Let's go one more time.
Let's go one more time and see who the more dominant champion really is, or see who the more dominant man is. Because you're having E become more and more serious, which I really, really like the balance of. He knows when to be comical. He knows when to have fun and laugh and joke. And then he knows when to be serious, when it matters, when everything's on the line. So I like how they're doing all of this and they're telling that story with E. It's really good. And then the best part of all was when Seth walked out on Monday and confronted E. And you could just see E's face.
Yeah.
And he's like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And it is. It's Seth's like, I beat Roman. I've beaten Roman before. You can't do it.
Which is exactly what I said would happen.
And it was, yeah, and it worked. It completely worked, which we know it would. But yeah, I like this a lot. I thought this was super good.
Yeah. Now let's talk about Becky Lynch and Miss Charlotte Flair.
Oh, Jesus. This should have been the main event of the show. No offense to Roman and E, but this should have been the main event. This was so good that it sucked the air out of the show for like three matches, because you just sat there and there were points in this where you could tell that they like tried in quotations to have a wrestling match. Like they were told you need to put like wrestling moves in there. And so they threw some in there because they were made to. But beyond that, they tried to beat the shit out of each other. They really truly did. Like there was just anytime, and they're working safe. Like it wasn't like they were like really truly trying to hurt each other, but like there was just a little bit.
They worked snug. They went, they laid every shot in.
Yeah, I was gonna say there was just a little bit of malice behind the majority of the shots in this match. Like there's just, a little bit harder, a little bit longer.
Every punch, phrasing. Every punch, every kick, every chop, just you saw it a little bit more oomph behind everything.
Yeah, and
which is what you wanted. You wanted the fight, and guess what? They gave you the fight. Were there wrestling elements to it? Yes. But all around, It was a fight.
And it was really phenomenally good. I would say my only real issue with it, and it's not really an issue, but it was Becky's gear. In any other circumstance, I feel like this would have been great gear because she looked amazing in it.
She was trying to, like, she was, it was inspired by something.
I think she was trying to do Scarlet Witch.
That's the name I saw on Twitter a bunch, yeah.
In any other circumstance, I feel like it would have been fine, but for this, I feel like it would have been a smarter choice to maybe wear shorts. I don't know, though, because the only problem is, like, throughout this match, she had an atomic wedgie, which could not have been comfortable at all for her. But, I mean, she's worked so super hard on her body, so she should absolutely show it off if she wants to. But, yeah, like, that was my only thing, is her bottoms kept riding up, and so you saw everything. You saw all of Becky's ass. If you've ever wanted to see Becky Lynch's backside, you got it on this show.
It's going to be on the internet forever now.
Which, it's a lovely backside. Don't get me wrong at all. It's very nice. Completely respectful. Not lecherous at all. But I'm just saying, I just feel like that was like the one misstep in this match was Becky's choice of gear. Just because I feel like shorts would have been a nicer choice for her. But ultimately, she stood tall.
Yeah.
She used a little trickery to win.
She countered the other trickery. But before we get to the finish, Charlotte, stop with the moonsault. You can never hit it. She didn't quite get all of it in part. Charlotte, you never hit your moonsault. Land on the person, hit the person, catch the person, like, do the moonsault correctly. You could do a flip, just connect with it. You missed 90% of the time, connect with it, because it looked awful when she hit it.
I feel like they don't know how to shoot it, too.
She doesn't know how to land it. That's the problem. She doesn't know how to land it. She doesn't want to take the contact with it. She's got to hit the contact and trust the person underneath to catch her. Even when it's multiple people, she doesn't trust them to catch her. Because she's a gymnast background, so she knows how to do the flip, but then she doesn't know how to be caught. She doesn't know how to take the fall from it. She knows how to land on her feet with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying.
She does the gymnastic moonsault where she lands on her feet, but in wrestling, you don't always land on your feet. You gotta smack the mat or the ground, and yeah, as it were.
I think she more does it just because they like her to do it.
Oh, it's the big ooh spot, but like when the announcer goes, she didn't quite get all of it, and you're selling it. The trickery where she stole the finish was the right finish because she had to cheat to win. Sticks with the bigger, the big time Bex gimmick. Also gives Charlotte the out to say, you really didn't beat me. You needed the ropes. You cheated, and everyone saves face.
It really was the most elegant solution you could come up with for this outside of just doing a double count out or a double DQ or something like that. Like, they really did a good job on the finish with this because, again, you're sitting here and you're watching it and you're like, I really don't know who should win this. I really don't, because it's like you can make really good cases for both sides and you know there's ego involved and you know that there's problems backstage and you know this and you know that. And you're like, well, but that still doesn't tell me who should win. Because if it were the past, it would be Charlotte. But it's not the past. It's the present. So is it Becky? And it ended up being Becky. So I will say the one really heartbreaking thing about this.
The aftermath video?
The aftermath video where you had Becky give an interview backstage. And she's standing there and she's talking. And there's a moment where Becky Lynch fades away. And Rebecca
Quinn
comes out. Because she's standing, because I know everybody's like, she was acting, and it's like, no, she wasn't. Not fully. I don't think she can cry on cue like that. Where she starts to talk about her friend that she's lost. And she starts to talk about all that has gone between them, and how it really truly is sad that at one time they were each other's ride or die. They would absolutely stand beside each other through thick and thin. She said it, they almost died in a car crash together. And now they don't even speak. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really sad state of affairs, and you have to kind of wonder if she doesn't want to fix it, because you just kind of get that impression that if she could, she absolutely would fix it, just because I think that's the type of person that she is. But I think there's also that acknowledgement that there are forces that are not allowing that to happen on both sides, and it's going to take a lot more than anybody thinks to get it to repair, because it's like you can have them get back on equal footing again, but it's going to take a lot to rebuild the trust like that. If you ever fully do. So, I mean, that was, that kind of brought it back down, because you're like, holy crap, that was amazing. Oh my God. And then you see her do the video and you're like, oh, Becky, my heart.
You feel bad for her, yeah.
So, and you didn't really have Charlotte acknowledge it at all. Like, my personal theory is that they had Charlotte and Becky go first because they wanted to get one of them out of the building.
Possibly.
Because they put Becky and Seth on first, and it could also be that, you know, they need to take care of the baby, so you have them go on first, and then that way, you know, they can take care of the baby the rest of the night. But all in all, this was a very good, very entertaining show. It just had its pacing issues, like we said, and it just kind of, like, the weird vibe. Also, one more thing. Can we talk about the day one?
Hold up your fingers, y'all.
The day one promo.
Hold your fingers. One.
Okay, so you're opening a door for people to be like, hey, hold up your finger. Which finger? I can do a number one, but I can do it with the finger. Like, you're just opening yourself up to that, and I'm not sure it's the best idea. I appreciate the marketing thing. Also, I still question the word choice stupendous for WrestleMania.
I'm dumbfounded by it every time. Come up, Lindsay can tell you, I bring it up every time.
Yeah, I'm not sure I quite understand the word choice there, because, not to toot my own horn, but I work in marketing, I'm a marketing professional, so out of all the word choices that you could have used...
Follow the branding.
I'm not sure why stupendous was the choice.
Hip and cool and everything like that.
It's not hip and cool, that's the thing.
No, it's not.
I don't hear anybody using the word stupendous.
Oh, come on now. It's stupendous.
The better choice would be lit.
Lit.
Lit. Also, good job, WWE, getting Taker to come to do the bump. Once again, you forget exactly how big that man is until he sits between two normal people.
So the official definition is causing astonishment or wonder, awesome, marvelous, of amazing size or greatness, tremendous, stupendous.
Tremendous would have been a better choice.
The most tremendous WrestleMania of all time doesn't sound right.
The most lit WrestleMania of all time.
Only in Dallas it's lit? I mean, you could have... No, that would have worked perfectly.
Get lit in Dallas?
Then you fly Tim the Tap, Complexity's Tim the Tap Man in.
You could do the tie-in.
It would have worked. You could have got a good fan base with Tim the Tap Man going lit. Because, you know, it's in...
Oh my God. You could have Tim host the show.
You could. You gotta get the right people on it. I mean, you know, Tim the Tap Man.
Or you could have him do, like, a tailgate party.
At WrestleMania?
WrestleMania?
I mean...
Because it's two nights.
Yeah.
So what you... Oh, holy shit. What you could do is you create, like, a beach area.
He wants the Tap Man tailgate. He wants to do one.
Yeah, so it's like, do the Tap Man tailgate at WrestleMania both nights, and you create, like, this Florida beach area vibe for him, and you have, like,
you pick get a, the... Your pickup what, trucks.
What's the hard seltzer he drinks?
What are they, chat?
Whatever hard seltzer he drinks, you get that, and you have that on site, and they can be, like, a sub-sponsor.
The Bud Light seltzer at White Claw, yeah.
Yeah, like, the White Claw... White Claw Lounge for, or the Bud Light Seltzer Lounge for Tim the Tapman's tailgate or the Tapman tailgate. And no. You have those there.
No, you get the Rocks Tequila to sponsor it.
There you go. There we go. He's thinking. And you just, yeah, you could do it. It's perfect. And then, because is WWE 2K22 going to be out by then?
It should be out by March, yeah.
You could have him demo it.
You could. I mean, that's, you want to connect to the kids in that demo. That 30-something demo right there, it's Tim the Tap Man lit. Y'all, he's lit.
And then you bring Tim out and you have him drop a move on somebody.
doing the pre-show. Oh, that would be great. They won't, but it'd be great.
Oh my God.
What happened when the 24-7?
Earthquake for the 24-7! Yes!
Yeah. Matt, it can't be live on Twitch. It could be on YouTube. He's on YouTube Gaming now. He's a YouTube Gaming star.
But they could do it on YouTube. They could stream it on YouTube.
Yeah, because they do.
Like, fuck. Yeah, he moved. He left Twitch. So, he's now... Courage basically got all of his friends, except for Ninja, on... And Cypher on YouTube. Like, Twitch is kind of in trouble there. But yeah, no, like, that's the kind of thing you could do, but we're going to do stupendous. Because again, just imagine, if you will.
If you will.
Massive Dallas Cowboys fan, The Undertaker, hanging out at the Tapman tailgate with Tim the Tapman.
This needs to be a thing, y'all. Tweet them.
And they don't necessarily speak each other's languages, but they have commonality in Cowboys football. It could be a thing.
It could be a thing.
Totally be a thing. I'm just saying. Just throwing it out there. Could 1,000% be a thing.
But anyway, that was Survivor Series. And day one is coming up. Hold up your fingers, y'all.
I'm holding up my finger. It's not the right one, but I'm holding up my finger.
So the wheel went 1-5. The eight ball went 3-3. You went 3-4. I went 4-3.
I beat the inanimate objects. Woo!
Go you.
Go me.
But I think we're done here.
I think we're done here. So with that, you've got stuff to plug, so plug away.
That will do it for the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving special here on the Rack. Have a happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Yes, if you celebrate it, please have a happy holiday, happy Thanksgiving, happy week. If you don't celebrate, I hope you have a great week and weekend and enjoy your days, and I hope they're not stressful.
Saturday Night Midnight-ish is another edition of CBRadio, CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. We continue the Greater Than Great Debate on the all-time greatest female wrestling character. We'll have some sort of video game content. Maybe we'll do more WWE 2K stuff since Brent couldn't be here. Maybe he'll actually join us this week.
Maybe.
Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. He should be available for that show too, because, you know, he's part of that now. And they'll have all the news and all that stuff. WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back at our normal day and time next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for The Rack. The Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use credit code RocketSock or
Lens M. Ward
in the 49 items at our Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. And you can follow me on all the social medias at Lens Ward, LANSWRD. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. Gobble, gobble, wobble, wobble, everybody. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we will be back next week with another show. Till then, bye.
It was so much fun, we don't want to be done. So let's give it one more groove. Step side to side, reach high and low. Wiggle your shoulders and make a pose. Repeat side to side, high and low. Shake your feathers and point your toes. Now say gobble, gobble, gobble.
Strut, strut, strut. WildTalkRadio.com.